Now, you've probably seen a cutaway section of a tree trunk, those rings inside. Well, they tell a story about the conditions the tree faced year after year. It turns out that whales contain a similar record inside their ears. Joining me now to talk about it are two researchers looking into this record. Stephen Trumbull is an assistant professor of biology. Sasha Yusenko is an assistant professor of environmental science. They're both at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Welcome to Science Friday.
How are you doing, John?
Thank you.
Oh, well, doing well. So, Stephen Trumbull, tell us about whales. They have ears? I didn't know.
Well, like mammals, yes, they have ears. Not the kind of ear that you would expect or used to, but yes, they have ears. They don't have the external pinna like you would expect to see on your neighbor there, but they have ears, and they actually hear.
And of course they hear, but are they hearing mostly with this apparatus that is the ear, or are they hearing through other parts of their body?
Well, kind of the consensus is that there are some fat deposits that are kind of made up into the jawbone of this large beast, and the sound actually travels through the front part of the head and is kind of funneled into the eardrum apparatus.
I'm John Dankosky, and this is Science Friday from NPR. And we're talking about a new study that has to do with whale earwax, of all things. Sasha Yusenko, we think of earwax as a kind of a soft material, so maybe you can tell us about the wax that is inside the ears of these big whales.
Well, its wax is very similar to yours. It's a lipid-rich matrix. It's got a fibrous brownish color, yellow color to it. But it's fairly consistent. It's a little more robust than your earwax. But it's substantial.
Now, tell us about the rings that you're finding in here. What are you able to learn by cutting through, looking into the earwax of a whale?
Well, what we're able to do is essentially to go back in time. You know, similarly, you mentioned the tree rings. The farther we go into the center of the tree, the farther we're going back in time. And so when we actually cut the earplug in half, we can actually see the light and dark lamina or the layers in there. And so if we measure contaminants or hormones or mercury in each layer, the farther we go towards the center, the farther back in time we go. And so really, for the first time, we're able to reconstruct an animal's lifetime chemical exposure or for the natural hormones, the chemical profile.
Now, obviously, for a long time, you've been able to study this to a certain extent in whales, but you're finding it in their blubber, but you're able to find different things in this earwax. Why?
Well, the blubber actually just tells us that the animal was exposed to, if we look at the contaminants, exposed to those contaminants. But the earwax allows us to understand when that occurred in the animal's lifetime. So it's a significant difference between those two matrices. But in blubber, typically you might look at persistent organic pollutants, organochlorine pesticides such as DDT, but which we might expect to accumulate in those lipid-rich matrices, these lipid-rich tissues. Dr. Trumbull and myself, we're actually also able to measure the less persistent or more degradable contaminants such as the natural hormones, which is also another advantage.
Now, I assume that you had to get this whale earwax from a whale that has already deceased. Tell us about how you got this sample and how you might get more.
Particular sample, initially, this came about, obviously, a question we had about aging animals. And with my background, I knew that earplugs have been used historically to age whales. And so Yusenko and I had been chatting and got hold of the Smithsonian and Charlie Potter. And he sent us an earplug that we could kind of develop some methodology using this thing to see if we could actually do what we were kind of hypothesizing. And once we figured out it actually worked, we contacted a friend of mine at Santa Barbara Museum of Natural History, Michelle Berman, and I said, hey, we think we're onto something here. Do you think you could, if you ever get an earplug in your holdings there, could you give me a holler? And she's like, you're not going to believe this, but we have a blue whale plug, and that's pretty much how it started. And that was sent to us and went from there.
And I assume that what you're putting out a call for is as many of these earplugs as possible. You could learn a lot more if you had more samples.
Absolutely. And the museums hold hundreds of these samples. They've been collecting these things throughout the decades from the 1950s. And you can only get them from dead animals. So you can't, swim out in the ocean and grab yourself an earplug off a whale. Just wouldn't work. So, get them from beach casts and things like that. So museums, like I said, they have, Smithsonian alone has upwards of 500 of them identified. So,
well, I want to thank you both for talking to us about this unusual study, and good luck getting more of these samples. Stephen Trumbull, an assistant professor of biology, Sasha Yusenko, an assistant professor of environmental science. They're both at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. Thank you to you both.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
B.J. Lederman composed our theme music. We had help today from NPR librarian Kim Malesky. If you missed any part of this program or would like to hear it again, subscribe to our podcast, audio and video, on iTunes and Android apps. You can point your tablet or smartphone to our website at sciencefriday.com, where you can also join our mailing list. If you like us, well, then like us on Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter at SciFry. Always email us. The address is scifry@sciencefriday.com. In New York, I'm John Dankosky.